Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to study the theme, how to interpret Scripture. Lesson 13, living by the Word of God. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. The Epistle of James, chapter 1, verse 22. The more we know from the Bible, the better it is. But only if we do it. The living Word of God and the Holy Spirit. I remember I was about 18 and I was fed up with everything, with the whole situation there. I was, well, you know. And then I went to my pastor and murmured, told him this person and criticized another person, and this does not work, and I was fed up with everything. I was really not happy at all. And I told him and negative thoughts on and on. And he sat there, sitting there listening, and then he took his Bible, then he stopped, and then he read the following verse: do all things without murmurings and disputing. This was the Word of God. That was the answer for all my murmurings and disputings. Do all things without. This is the word which hit me most. Without murmurings and disputings. I was shocked. I was really shocked. I had said all these critics, because all the people around me, they were to blame for my feelings, I thought. And then he just read this sentence, this verse. Letter, Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 2, verse 14. When Paul wrote this sentence, he was in prison in Rome. And death could come to him any moment. And then he wrote this. Out of prison. He was in prison when he wrote, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Do you know what it means to be in a Roman prison? This is not a hotel as today. I cannot imagine. You would not like to be there for 1 hour. And when he's there, because of the Word of God, because he has been proclaiming Jesus, therefore he is there. Because he was in the service for his master. He did not do any bad things as other people who go to prison. He worked for Jesus, and therefore he was arrested. And then out of prison, he writes this. do all things without murmurings and disputings. I remember later on there was a Bible quiz. And the question was, where in the Bible do we find something about murmuring? I raised my hand. Philippians 2 verse 14. Everybody looked at me. How do you know this? Why so? Bitter experience by myself. I had to swallow this text. And I chewed a long time on this text. But it's true. And it works. It heals. It healed my wounds. Learning from Jesus. When Jesus had been baptized, he was led by the Spirit into the desert, the wilderness. And 40 days, for 40 days he had been there in the wilderness, eating nothing, so fasting. And then, in those days he did eat nothing. And when the days were ended, he afterward hungered. We can understand that. And now he gets a visit from an angel. A special angel. And the devil said unto him, if you are the Son of God, if. 40 days before, the voice from heaven, the voice of the Heavenly Father had said, this is my beloved Son. In him I am well pleased. And now, what does the devil say? If you are the Son of God, command this stone that it be made. It means, follow me. That's always the same trick. Follow me. Obey me. Obey my commands. Do what I tell you. This is the devil. Very tricky. Now, what can we learn from Jesus in such a situation? It is written. That it's always good if you know what is written. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. It is written. And the devil taking him up into an high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And said to Jesus, all this power will I give you and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. In reality, he had robbed it from Jesus. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. If you therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. The devil is willing to give everything, the whole planet Earth, if he is worshipped by Jesus. This would be honey for his soul. Now what to say now? Get you behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Full stop. It's good to know the word of God in your mind, by heart. Not just taking a Bible, having it with you in your brain. And then the devil took him to Jerusalem on the pinnacle of the temple. If you be the Son of God, this is the same trick, cast yourself down. For it is written, oh, he has learned something. He uses the same words. It is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against the stone. Holy sentence. Now what to say now? He has quoted the Bible. The devil. The answer of Jesus. It is said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. What do we learn from Jesus? Study the word in your heart. The test is ready when you need it. Jesus versus Scripture. In the Gospel of John, we read in chapter 5, verse 45 and the following. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. He speaks with the Pharisees. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. They look astonished. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Now what is it what Moses said in the book of Deuteronomy 18:15. The Lord your God, he will raise up unto you a prophet from the midst of your brethren, like unto me. Unto him you shall hear a prophet like me. Moses told them, you shall listen to him. Jesus supported one Bible text with another Bible text. Bible texts are like a net fishermen use to catch fish. And in the morning when they come back fishing during the night, then they're going to clean the net and to repair it. To have to take out plants and little animals which are not used for eating, throwing them away. Cats are already waiting at the shore, and they take them. And if there is anything loose or torn, you repair it. And the same it is with all the texts in the Bible. They support each other. If you try to throw out one, there will be a hole. And the net is incomplete. The Bible is a net of texts. And one text supports another text. You cannot take out one and throw it away. Therefore Jesus said, Moses has written about me. If you believe him, you will believe me. But if you do not believe him, how can you believe me? Once you start throwing away one sentence another one will follow. Once I was on an island with my family, first holiday ever. We met with our family on an island. And it's fine to be on an island, but when you go back, you discover, oh, I need a ship, a ferry to come back to the coast. So we knew the ferry will start very early in the morning. So we had to get up very early and we had to drive for 2 hours or so, and we wanted to be on time. And when we came there, we saw the ship, the ferry. Oh, there were many cars. They had got up earlier than we. Oh, yes. And then we came there, and the officer there, he showed tup, tup, tup. And then our car was the next. And then, whew. Well, what does he mean? He stopped me. And then the ship closed its mouth and off it went. Now I was in the pole position for the next ferry, for the next ship. We could have slept an hour longer. Now we are here, waiting at least an hour for the next ferry to come. Now what to do? Then you look around, and then I saw fishes at the coast there of the island, repairing their nets. I saw it for the first time, very close. I had time, 1 hour at least, and I could watch them for an hour. And this picture is in my mind. Now I know why we should wait there. Now I can tell you this story. If we had just gone on, we hadn't seen any fishermen repairing their nets. Everything. What was the text in Philippians 2:14? Do everything without murmurings and disputings. Quiet times with the Word of God. So if there is anything important, then it is this sentence. Quiet times with the Word of God. We've heard about the fire. A fire needs food. Wood, whatever. It needs something which can't be burnt. If your spiritual fire should grow, feed it, put food to the fire. And this can only happen when you have quiet times with the Word of God. It is so important to be together with God. Once a month, once a week, daily. What do we learn of Jesus? When the apostles woke up in the morning, oh, where's Jesus? Oh, where is he? And then they looked for him. And then they found him, studying the Word of God, talking with his Father in heaven, praying. It was the same, day by day. He was always the first. A quiet time with his Father. So Jesus acted like this. Do you think you're with more strength and more spirit than Jesus? If he needed it, do we need it? We should learn from him. Every morning, he started every morning being together with God, his Father. so that he knew what to do. In my first years as a teacher, we lived in a flat, a story higher up, in this big house with many flats. And we could look down on a courtyard where bricklayers were assembled with the boss. Every Monday morning, it was the same ritual, ceremony that was celebrated. There he stood, and in a semicircle, his people around him. And then he asked, and in summertime, windows open, you could hear him talk to these people. He asked them, "Now you, how far have you got in your work? 50, 80, 90%, how much have you already finished? How long will it take to finish? Are you ready? Fine. Then you go over there and you take this person with you and this one, and you go to this address, and there you have to do the following." And so he went on from person to person. Everyone had to report what he had done, how long it would take to finish, and so on. Everybody was asked, "Report. Tell me." Every Monday morning, we could watch this ceremony. You could be sure. When you saw it, you knew it. Ah, it's Monday morning. Now the commander is there. They get new commands. And he wanted to be informed. How far had they got in their work? This is usual practice. And what about you? So in the morning, you get up, and then you leave the house. Have you been together with your commander in heaven? You haven't? How can you know what to do then? This is just the first duty, being together with him. Studying his word, oh Lord, this morning, what's going on? What do you want me to do? So this is priority. If you say you love him, if you say you want to obey him, this is the first point, isn't it? Being together with him, quiet times with the word of God. This is a must in the morning. Memory and song. A text from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So this is something which you can take as advice for your lifestyle with Jesus. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. The psalms are songs of experience. Most of them are by David. He lived with God, and when he made an experience with God, he was so full of joy. He exploded. Everybody, he wanted to tell about it. So he wrote down, and then a melody came into his mind, and then he sang, and yeah. These are songs of experience, how God is. I remember in my youth, I was born on a farm high up in the Alps, peaks all around. Maybe therefore I love so much the Alps and hitchhiking there. So there on this farm, it belonged to my uncle. My cousins were there as well. nearly my age. Oh, it was a wonderful time. All the animals and work there. And every day he had a lot of cows. And when he entered this building with the cows to get the milk out of them, what did he do? He sang a song. One, he sang all the time. He was singing as long he was taking the milk out of the cows. He was singing. And in this village, there were only farmers. It was a village, only farmers. Everyone had a farm there. And all the other farmers could hear him singing. Now they knew, he is together with his cows, milking them. And a question for you. Do you know which cows in this village produced the highest percentage of milk of all the cows in the village? It were the cows of my uncle. They heard him singing, and they were willing to give more milk than other cows. Isn't that interesting? They were all the same cows. They all were fed. They got hay and so on. And everybody milked the cows, but the ones of my uncle produced the most. He was singing. He had joy in this work. And you could hear it, you could see it. Now imagine, you are known in your area as the one who is singing. Singing songs of praise to the Lord. Knowing them by heart. Because it's easier singing when you know it by heart than taking your songbook with you, milking the cows and looking at the songbook. It wouldn't be so nice. But if you have it in your mind, Bible texts, as songs. Your songbook. Start learning by heart these texts if you haven't done that before. Start singing. It will change your mood and it will change the people around you. They will be surprised. And your singing will improve day by day. Summary. So what have you learned from this lesson? Jesus' priority in the morning, being together with his Father. He was in the courtyard, like the bricklayers, being together with the boss, their commander. The Word of God is food for your soul, that your spiritual fire will never ever cease. If you start the morning being together with your commander in heaven, having a desire, what's going on today? What does he want to tell me? As David said, I enjoy your Word as someone who gets a lot of things. He was happy when he could be together with God, learning from him, getting more wisdom, being informed what's going on, what should we do, what will be the next, not just stumbling out of the house into your job. Oh, Monday morning. a morning, being together with your master will change everything during the day. Everything. You will be blessed. It will be different. And it makes a difference. A big difference. When Jesus acted like this, getting up, being together with God, what should we do then? These quiet times with our Master will change your life to the better from now on. And the devil, he will tremble when he looks at you. Oh no, again, last morning, this morning, what will be tomorrow? What should I do? What should I do? And what could he do? If you're filled with the Spirit, filled with love and trust towards Jesus, what could he do? He's helpless. He can only try that you are not together with your Master. That's his trick. He wants to prevent your quiet time. That's his aim. Now, when you know this, how will you act then? I remember all the people who were spiritual giants. They all had the same habit. Being together with the Master in the morning for an hour at least. Martin Luther, the great German reformator, he had the following habit. Oh, he had so much to do. This man worked. Wow. And it was much more work than he could manage. And when it was so much, such a heap of things to do, then he said, well, it's so much. It's too much. What could I do? Oh, I will take more time being together with my Master. I will take a longer, quiet time with Jesus. If you have so much to do, you must shorten your time with the Master. Or? No. You must prolong it. You need more time with the Master because you need more strength because there's so much work to do. This is the mystery of being a giant, a spiritual giant. It's the best advice you can get, being together with your Master daily, at least once.